ようこそどうぞ、はじめまして。
Hello everyone, welcome to a special emergency edition of the Glorio Chat, the most dedicated anime podcast on the internet.
You know it.
Hey man, we're in the trenches. We're in the trenches, mining the hot takes.
Right.
It is almost 1 a.m. on the East Coast.
Yeah, we're reporting. We're reporting the first live. Sorry, Iroh. Yeah, we're clearly like very prepared for this, but yes, go ahead.
the first episode of Fooly Cooly Progressive just finished airing.
Yes,
and we all watched it.
We did,
and we got thoughts.
We have emergency hot takes.
Yes, so this is we're coming at you live, mere minutes after it finished about 15 minutes ago, and you know, I was not planning on doing anything, but after watching it, I feel like we have some opinions.
We were all here.
Share. So. And we were all here. So yeah.
We had nothing better to do on a Saturday night.
We were, let's not look at it that way. We were all assembled in Glorio Tower, ready to podcast.
Don't insult.
Reminds me of that one Azumanga-Daio episode where it's like having your like significant others to show off your summer styles too.
Nope.
Yeah, we're all big Azumanga-Daio fans here. Clearly, Marlon, I'm sorry.
I love Azumanga-Daio. Just look, it's late.
Do you love it as much as Fooly Cooly?
I don't remember.
Yeah, let's.
I had to modify it because we don't have boyfriends, but
yeah, let's try and keep this on track. So, quick, we've got myself, Gel. We've got Iroh.
Hi.
We've got G.
Yo
and
yo.
Quietly in the background, we have Marlon.
Yo.
And yes,
USA.
Yes,
USA.
Here on the it's almost 1 a.m. EST here, so we are pretty late here. But I'm fired up because we've got some hot takes here on Fooly Cooly Progressive. So just real quick to set the background, everybody knows what Fooly Cooly is, but there are two new series that were announced a while back. Oddly enough, they showed as an April Fool's joke the first episode of the third series. But this one is the second, known as Fooly Cooly Progressive. And
yes.
That is the first episode of what we got tonight. So I think what we're just going to do is we'll just go around the room and we'll get everybody's kind of hot takes on their initial impressions on the first episode. So I guess, Iroh, you want to kick us off here? What did you think?
It wasn't as bad as I thought it could be. Okay, so I watched the first episode of Alternative when that aired for April Fools. So that was a few months ago. And boy, I didn't like that at all because it was just jam-packed of like references to the first Fooly Cooly. Remember all that stuff? Remember Never Knows Best? Remember Haruko?
See, et cetera. That is interesting. I guess I hadn't considered that. Stamp that angle because I have not watched Alternative, so
okay.
Yeah,
I guess having watched Alternative, maybe that would have already set certain expectations that
perhaps
I didn't have.
I think like conceptually, some of the stuff in this new one in Progressive, I really liked because I really liked the idea of it being a totally different weird lady in totally different weird circumstances. But then every time they like hedge closer to original Fooly Cooly, I went, I don't know about this. Like, spoiler for.
Oh yeah, we're full spoiler on this one, everybody.
Yeah, like Harko shows up at the end, and I go, oh, of course, you know.
Yeah.
Or
well, someone had to come
head horns and such. But I actually liked the intro bit. It's like weird. Post-apocalyptic dream land. It was kind of like weird and had cool robot stuff, which I mean,
yeah, I liked the intro, and then as soon as it went back to the school, I was like, aw.
Like spinning the nothing interesting and everything is ordinary,
it was like
line into like everything being destroyed.
Yeah, it was like some kind of like Kamen Rider Gaim scene or something like that. Like like the weird transformation and like just like all the weird death imagery.
But like the more conventional it became, the less I was into it. And some of the like weird pervy stuff, which don't get me wrong, original Fully Cooly has a ton of weird pervy stuff.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
But it doesn't really play as well in 2018, I think. But I mean, well, I'm willing to write off some of that.
To audience, at least
to us, I'd let's say.
I mean, Fully Cooly was always just a euphemism for sex, right?
Sure, let's go with that.
I mean, everyone's always debated what that actually means. I'm pretty sure it's just a metaphor for sex.
I thought it was about kneading bread.
quote unquote, this
changes everything.
Quote unquote bread.
But, there was enough like stuff I was into that I'm willing to watch more and not just immediately write it off, but I don't think I'm all that hopeful considering. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll talk kind of about what our vision of what's going to happen next. So let's just keep it. We'll keep rolling around the room here. Marlon, you want to go next? What was your initial impressions here?
I feel even more confused than like back when I was a kid watching the first episode of Fully Cooly.
Really?
Like, it just, I don't know, it seemed like they established pretty well at least the relationship between Naoto and I forget her name, the high school girl that was his brother's girlfriend.
Mamimi?
Yeah, Mamimi.
Oh, yeah.
And it just seemed like with the characters here, they just like, you know, introduce them in the school, you know, that like, I guess they have the, she's got a weird parent, just like how how the first main character had a weird parent, but you know, like the weird scene where it sounds like she's being shown pornography, or like just
saying there's like no immediate character hook to her.
Yeah,
I wonder if that's because like in the original, like you said, they kind of jump right in the middle and then like make you figure it out, whereas this one we feel like we're at the start of it, because like the very first scene of the original is like they're hanging out under the bridge with, you know, then it, you know, Mamimi's giving her one of her many speeches or whatever. Like, yeah.
Right.
Whereas this is like, they're introducing the cat ears girl and the glasses guy. I have no idea what their names are. Like, right. And showing them their first meeting and everything. And yeah.
Figure that out as time goes on. I think for me, to speak to just that part specifically, you know, not to interrupt Marlon's take, is that I think they were trying to go for the element of like, look how detached she feels from society, in the same way that Naota kind of had that as well in the original Fully Cooly. Like, you know, they very much leaned on the like Naota was kind of a loner kid,
but he still had a personality
in the original. He did, and I think that's the difference, is having foils like Mamimi did help create a more compelling character dynamic than the one we have now with just a headphones girl and
like
eyebrows kid and her mom. Like, I don't know. We you know, whatever. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, please continue, Marlon.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, like I said, whenever it hedged too close to being Fully Cooly, I just was immediately comparing it to Fully Cooly and being like, it isn't as good. And then when it tried to be different, I don't know, I'm not sure if it's really hooking me. Like, I don't really like the main character. I feel like we've seen the stoic girl who doesn't like the talk shtick in a whole bunch of different anime. And, you know, like, the one thing I thought was interesting was at least, you know, this school, everyone was wearing different clothes for once. I don't know if they're going to play into, like, some kind of individuality theme. Because, like, they were talking, you know, they did have that whole scene about the one guy and his, you know, wearing a skirt. Like, seemed to be talking about expression.
I think that was trying to desperately make this feel like it's relevant in 2018 and not, like, it was made in 1999. There's that, and there was a couple other things, like her browsing whatever she was supposed to be browsing on her, yeah, on her phone and on, like, all that. I think that was just trying to make it feel like it's like in the moment, and you know, not, and probably not succeeding in that particular example, but
I guess kind of like the South Park at the South Park part from the original Hooli Hooli.
Well, although unfortunately,
man, that's right. Although, that happened.
South Park does still exist, boy, in 2018, doesn't it? So
yeah, they cleaned up the art style though. I liked it when it was more like how the Hooli Hooli style was.
All right.
But yeah. But otherwise, yeah. I mean, I was just super confused the whole time. I feel like, yeah, even more than the original Hooli Hooli, I was super confused.
That's kind of,
and I didn't.
That's kind of interesting because I actually thought it was probably more straightforward, at least at parts of it, anyways. But yeah, I could kind of see that. G, you want to? What do you think?
For the interest of time, I will keep it.
We got a little bit of time, but we went through the trouble to get everybody on. But,
I want the most skin in this game, G.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, I could get really into the weeds about my concerns about the animation, but just to start off, you know, I think basically I feel I'm not sold on it, but I'm also not going to write it off yet, you know, like you guys. But I think basically I feel that Progressive's biggest problem right now is that it can't seem to decide whether it wants to create its own identity or emulate the original. And right. I feel like it half-asses both in a way that it simply cannot afford to get away with. You know, like, honestly, you know, it's like kind of what you guys said. Honestly, the worst parts of it for me were the parts that were trying their hardest to be like the old Hooli Hooli. And for me, you know, being, I guess, the artist, you know, I was looking at this mostly from a visual standpoint, and for me, it was specifically the animation. Mm-hmm. Like, anytime Progressive tries to do the sudden shift into, like, you know, the kind of punchy jackhammer style of the original Hooli Hooli, the more, for me, it kind of exposes the lackings of Progressive, because, let's be honest, you know, the original Hooli Hooli was made by straight up some of the most talented animators who have ever lived.
Right.
And, you know, that it's unfair to compare Progressive.
We can't all be Gainax coming off of Ava High.
No, right. Let me just interrupt there. It is fair to compare because it's the same series. So I'm fine with comparing.
Yes. You know what? I think Jell does have a point there. And, and that's my problem is anytime it got into that style, it just exposed how poorly they could pull it off, you know? At the very end, when Haruko pulls off the mask and reveals herself, like, it feels like you can see, like, them trying to do the OG Hooli Hooli style, but it doesn't
That work. Really bothered me, you know? That Haruko was drawn exactly the same as she was in the original, when everyone else is
totally different.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like if in the original, it would be like if in Die Buster, you know,
just a character, Haruhiko Mikimoto character walks on
street. Yeah, just a character from Gunbuster walks on the street as if we're not supposed to consider that odd. Like, that's a thing. I love the original Hooli Hooli style. And if you think that Haruko's appearance hinges so much on that style, why doesn't this whole anime look like that?
I mean, she is an alien. You can kind of.
Yeah, true. And I guess I think Progressive needs to either go fully into being a subversion in the way Die Buster was and create its own, like, identity cloth. Or
that's why I really liked the intro bit, I think.
Yeah, and I think
it was so completely different.
The intro
from
definitely feels the most like, you know, like if Hooli Hooli was like what trippy, crazy anime was back in the early 2000s, I think that scene at the beginning of Progressive is the closest it gets to like the 2018 equivalent of like, how do we do strange, surreal, but also striking imagery in anime? Yeah. And my one last thing, I guess, is because apparently I'm the only one who cares about this, is
no, I'm
no
with you. I just want to let you say it.
Is criminal.
Well, yeah. That was
okay. When they started, when they reused the one for the ending that was at the ending of like every
Little Busters
episode.
Yeah,
it's Little Busters. Okay, just like it's cheating.
It's cheating.
You can't do that.
It's it's almost insulting to use Thank You My Twilight and Little Busters in the first episode of your new Fooly Cooly thing when those are old tracks.
Okay, I can't remember if Diebuster pulled out with Buster Machine March in the first episode, or if they saved it for episode 4.
I think they saved that for episode 4, right?
I think
we'd have to recheck, but anyways, you know, the credits track, the new credits track is pretty good. I have my reservations about the ED sequence being a montage of what looks like in-show footage instead of, you know, doing its own original thing, but obviously I wouldn't want them to, you know, just copy right on Shooting Star. But
one of the things, well, let me tell you, is that possibly the American release ending?
Is that
maybe,
correct?
I don't know. Alternative.
Like, I'm just wondering if that's possibly the case.
I don't know.
I had not considered that. I guess that's true that Japan is not getting Fooly Cooly till
for a
later,
bit.
Correct?
Yeah. And something like that.
You know, or dubbed into the original Japanese, anyways.
They do edit the endings down for the American productions. You know, like, at least when they're on TV, like that was.
This time,
I mean, I'm not going to say
it felt like the full ED sequence to me, at least song-wise. It didn't feel...
Not sure. Down. When they aired Alternative, it had the full ED sequence,
okay.
which was different from this one, it should be noted.
Okay, so there is... Maybe I should have watched Alternative before coming into this, but...
it might have just made you angry.
Maybe. Yeah. The last thing I will say...
I'm just throwing out hypotheticals. I don't know if that's for sure.
Right.
I will say this, like, for
it's
me...
It's 1 a.m. I don't know if y'all noticed.
Yeah, okay, I know. I'm sorry, just...
That's cool.
I will say, look, I'm not against using old tracks from Fooly Cooly. You know, in fact, look, if the final episode of Fooly Cooly Progressive... then busted out Little Busters, you know,
sure, yes,
then it would be like a total hype as fuck moment. But I don't know, man, busting that out in episode 1, it's like you're already like,
yeah,
you're already now making me wondering how many new tracks is this even getting if you can't even be asked to feature one in your premiere episode.
Yeah. It's like, when did Little Busters get used in the first series? Was that in the baseball episode?
No, it was like all over the first episode.
Yeah,
it wasn't all right? Of
them? They used it. Yeah, that was like practically every episode.
Yeah,
was
I feel like Little Busters was the Fooly Cooly, like, quote unquote theme, right?
Right. That's like the hit the turning point of the episode song.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to save I Think I Can for the last episode.
Right, but that's the problem. Right. I think.
But they still play Little Busters after I Think I Can.
Right, but
that's
the thing.
True.
Like,
yeah,
I think Progressive shouldn't have used any of the old tracks. Because
no, I agree. Totally.
If it busted out I Think I Can in the finale, then, you know, that's when you're, like, sticking your head out the windows and, like, shouting. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see, I guess. Yeah. That's all we can really say.
Yeah, just to add, I guess, you know, I feel pretty similar to all you guys. I was kind of in a similar boat as Iroh. I didn't watch the first episode of Alternative, but I saw enough.
You screamed at all my screen caps.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, I'm a pretty chill dude, and I was very angry at all of, like, the Never Knows Best thing. Just, oh my god. But anyway, but that kind
on
of
a Jenga piece too.
Yeah, that did set my expectations in a similar place where I was expecting this to just be like a big reference fest, and, you know, thankfully it wasn't totally, although
right.
I'm not sure, you know, then going over to G's point, I do feel like they kind of were trying to be somewhere in the middle, and you got to pick a lane. So, you know, just the, you know, they're trying to emulate the kind of look and feel of the original to a certain degree, but they clearly don't have the resources to, you know, do it from a technical standpoint, you know, to make the animation and everything up to the same quality. It doesn't have the same, like, energy. Like, in the original Fooly Cooly, like, everything's just, like, nonstop, like, happening constantly. Yeah. It's very frenetic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good word for it. And then...
but this main character is just not very frenetic.
Yeah, I understand they kind of got to draw from the main character.
I don't think it necessarily has to be, because, I mean, I totally agree with you, Jill, that Fooly Cooly's identity is that punchy, jerky quality to it.
Right.
But,
like, if the episode had committed to not, right,
but
then we
the
wouldn't
thing
be
is
as
that
hard.
I would also... Sorry, I think I would also argue that Fooly Cooly also did have a very... when it wasn't being, you know, 100%, it actually did kind of have a methodical, melancholic pace to it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, it did have
the hybrid rainbows moments, so
yes,
to speak.
Yeah, and that's all, you know, the
is that Firestarter?
Yeah, or, second episode, I think. Yeah, that's okay. You know, the brilliance of Tsurumaki, but you know, hashtag free Tsurumaki.
Free Tsurumaki, free Enokido.
Yeah, so, you know, I do feel like it was kind of stuck in the middle, and as a result, not having a strong enough identity for itself. And I guess that's better than just, like, copying stuff for the sake of copying it, but it's also just not getting me super excited in general, I guess.
Right.
You know, I'd still rather it be, like everybody said, just making its own distinct thing. And, you know, you can try to capture the tone and the feel and like the spirit of the show, but, you know, embracing, you know, whatever staff you have, their strengths, and, you know, what are they good at, and, you know, bringing their own style to it. I would have loved to have seen something like that if you're going to make anything at all. I've been on record. I'm against the whole sequel thing to begin with, but if you're going to do it.
I was really into that first, like, 90 seconds.
I wasn't as into it as you were, but I think that would have been the right direction to go for progressive.
Right.
Yeah.
I was, for that 90 seconds, I was fooled into thinking, oh, they might actually be onto something.
Yeah, like, what if it was...
they could actually make this work, maybe.
I think for me, I was just so angry that they were playing Thank You, My Twilight instead of a new track.
Yeah.
I had a hard time focusing, so...
I was thinking, like, you know, what if it was, like, Medical Mechanica on another planet somewhere out in the galaxy, and we just like had a totally new setting.
I feel like that's what you
and
kind of is that the twist? Right, like, is that the twist? Like, is that the twist at the end of this? Is that this isn't Earth or something? Like,
yeah, I don't know. Well, let's talk about then.
I guess that's possible.
Yeah, go ahead, Marlon.
There's Japanese, and they're using line, right?
Well, but, you know, you could play that another planet with an equally advanced civilization.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. You watch Space Dandy, you can have like, 8 worlds that all look like rural, small-town Japan.
Maybe the headphones make it look like everything, like her changes her perception to make it look like there's that she's in Japan when in reality she's in some, like, post-apocalyptic hellscape.
She's actually a cat alien. They don't just do the silhouette thing as a joke.
Anyway, so yeah.
Although she already had the headphones get knocked off her head.
When the teacher showed up and started speaking in total monotone and took attendance by just drawing a big circle on the clipboard. I thought that was pretty funny.
Oh, or what did she say? And everyone just like repeated it. When she was like, repeat after me, and everyone said repeat after me back. That was pretty good. Yeah.
But also, like, the only funny gag in that episode.
So, I guess we kind of started spilling into this already. So, but like, what are we thinking? How do we think this is going to play out? Do you think it'll get better or worse? Do you think they'll be able to write the ship? What do you think is going to happen in the future? What is the future?
I feel like the safe bet would be betting against it.
Where I'm feeling on progressive is basically there are things that I see now in this first episode that can go a multitude of ways, basically. And I basically need to see how they decide to cash in on those chips in the future, you know, because are those intentional references to the original Foolikuli? Are those being done to intentionally set up a subversion, or are they just simply trying to emulate the original? You know, it's the sort of thing that it could go in a there is the potential to go in a cool, smart direction in the same way Diebuster did. And I guess I want to get this out of the way because I know it is quite controversial, but we here on the Glorio chat are proud Diebuster apologists. And
absolutely.
Don't Die like Diebuster 2. I mean, Gunbuster 2/Diebuster. You can get the fuck out of here.
we're not apologizing because there's nothing to apologize for.
Exactly.
If you don't like Diebuster, you're the problem.
But
especially you.
But yeah, basically, I need to see more of what they're trying to do with what they've shown, because honestly, if like an episode 2 or 3, they're like, hey, remember all those Fooly Cooly like references? Actually, they were done in service to like fuck with your perception of the show. Then I'd be like, oh, that was pretty novel. But if in episode 2 or 3, it's just, hey, remember Fooly Cooly? Then I will be like, yes, I have the Blu-rays with me and I can watch those whenever I want.
Yep.
So what do we think like the kind of like underlying narrative is, like how Fornata was growing up? Is it her like just
opening up or something?
But like, is it trying to tackle the idea of, you know, people becoming too isolated in the real world? Do you think they're going to tackle anything like that?
It's going to become Gatchaman crowds.
I'm actually more curious. Like, yeah, I don't think, you know, naturally, I don't think any of the four of us are qualified to speak on this, but I do wonder if I wonder how much of this will be about the fact that our new protagonist is female. You know, like so much of the original Fooly Cooly is about, you know, kind of horny male adolescence, right?
Right.
Like,
yeah. I did call the
weirdness of it, and I kind of wonder if, well, A, I wonder if maybe they're going to try and, you know, do it from a female perspective, or how much it's actually going to matter, or if they even have the chops to pull that off. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
also, why does she look high? Couldn't get that out of my head either. Like, she has those red bags under her eyes.
She's sleepy
the whole time.
So yeah. Something like that.
It's allergy season. I swear, officer.
Is that
So she's inflicted with
Is that
spirit.
That like that makeup makeup trend thing where you're trying to make thing. Yourself look sick?
There's that girl in Saren.
Shout out
to the Saren upperclassmen that never got their own arcs.
Yep,
that's the real twist. Is that we've just been in Amagami world this whole time.
All right,
so we never left.
I have a few rapid fire.
Now turning into soup.
I have a few rapid fire questions we can close this thing out with. So, all right. First question: is the glasses kid the same glasses kid from the original Fooly Cooly?
No.
Okay. No.
No. I mean, but he better not.
Okay, so I did like that they kind of implied that from the start that he was being targeted by, like, he was in a similar situation to Nauta, like, from the beginning.
And they had to stick that banyan on his head.
But then they brought it into the forefront, and I went, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it was just the glasses kind of freaked me out. Like, he has a very similar design.
He has like the same personality too. Yeah. But yeah.
I mean, those three dudes are just like the three dudes in Fooly Cooly 1.
Right.
Smooch guy.
Yes.
Okay. Question 2: is Nauta the cat ear girl's dad?
I swear to God, if that is what they actually do,
you know, stretch your feelings, you know it to be true.
Oh no, yeah, that was my immediate thought, totally, and I also said, "Fuck that."
No, like
so,
why would you think that?
I don't know. It's just what popped into my head.
It's the way it's framed. It's
the part where her mom is talking about her father and how he's gone off and they should maybe stop waiting for him. Like, that could mean a lot of things, but if you add up like Nauta's personality and, you know,
also because the factory spewing steam is what triggered it.
I mean, I guess that's possible. But is it like the bomb character?
That would suck though.
Comes out of nowhere.
Yeah. That was the thought popped into my head at that part that, you know, I could see Nauta leaving his family to go fight Medical Mechanica across the galaxy, and leaving a pair of weird high tech cat ear headphones for his daughter. I could see that happening.
You're a lot more optimistic than me, because my worry was that they were trying to frame Nauta as a deadbeat dad, and I was like,
no, he would still be a deadbeat dad. Yes.
Oh god! Like, no. I'm not saying Nauta had to have automatically become like a better person, you know, after Fooly Cooly, but I feel like so much of Fooly Cooly's meaning,
him on the right path,
right? Like, so much of Fooly Cooly's meaning hinges on him learning about, you know, not trusting strange women with guitars and like not letting your life become, you know, subsumed by them in the same way that, you know, it happened to Seaweed Eyebrows guy.
Okay.
Or eyebrows.
Speaking of us.
Eyebrows.
Speaking of strange women with guitars, I'm going to throw in my weird disappointment with this. I didn't get a good look at the guitar that the new girl has, but I think it's a Fender Mustang, which is not a super rare guitar. There might be something special about it. Might be like a special type of Fender Mustang. So maybe I could be wrong, but it's not like with Haruko's left-handed Rickenbacker bass thing that there's only made, like, there was only like 10 of them ever made type of.
Right.
So there, I was. I'll have to check before I get too mad about that. But I did notice.
Yeah, I guess in that hypothetical situation, then you have to ask. Did they pick a common guitar as a subversion, or did they just pick a guitar that, you know, somebody on the staff liked, or they found on, you know, Google image search, you know, like how much thought goes into it?
The guy that made the character design liked it or something, yeah. So
how much thought went into Haruko's guitar? Like,
the original?
I thought they just picked it because someone on staff liked it.
Okay.
I mean, probably, yeah, but
yeah, probably.
But like when that's you know, when that's created in a vacuum, you know, I feel like that's more acceptable than when you're, you know, explicitly trying to be a follow-up. Yeah.
No, I think I remember reading something about them specifically picking that Rickenbacker that Haruko had because it was like super rare or something, but
fitting for an alien, yeah. I guess.
I mean, I used the Vespa because Surimaki had owned the exact same type of Vespa, so and they broke it because they pushed it over to like take shots for the ending sequence. Anyway,
oh, was that Tsurumaki's personal Vespa?
I did not know that. Man,
yeah. We're going with a deep anime trivia here at 1 o'clock in the morning on the Glory chat. Okay, final question: is the cat ears girl a robot, and is this actually Gunbuster 3? That's the twist.
I think.
Buster Machine number 99.
Oh man, I don't know if that would make me happier or that would actually break my heart even worse. But
I mean, she did turn into a robot or something in the beginning, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, the headphones seemed to react to her in a way that seemed very like robotic.
And her whole thing is not having emotions, so
right.
Please let Gunbuster.
Let it be.
Just don't.
Look, I got the follow up and needed.
Right, like Fooly
Cooly. The follow up that it didn't need, but deserved. Right,
like Fooly Cooly doesn't need one either, but Gunbuster Super Extra doesn't need one, so.
yeah. Didn't they say they were working on another Gunbuster or something, or did I make them making that up?
Let's hope you're making that up.
What possible reason would they have to do that?
I don't know. I mean,
who knows?
I mean, it wouldn't be Gainax, right? Because they're tomato farmers now. Yeah. So I don't think they can handle
oh boy.
That. But anyways. All right. Well, good talk, everyone. I guess we'll see what the future holds for Fooly Cooly Progressive. Do we know, is it going to be 6 episodes or are they doing more?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's 6 and then it is going to be 6. Alternative is also 6.
Okay. So over the next couple weeks, we'll keep an eye on it. If we need to talk about it more again in some capacity, we will. I've been kind of kicking around some ideas of something to write about it, but we'll see.
Maybe we'll do an episode that is not a Gaiden.
Yeah, full length episode.
A mainline.
Yeah.
Full length Glorio chat. So, yeah. All right, any final thoughts before we wrap this up?
Free Enokido, free Surimaki.
More new pillows stalled.
Yes.
Now you guys are going to get to see him in a month anyway.
Yeah.
I don't think I can. Oh, I'm so mad. I don't think it's going to work out for me on that one.
Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry, man.
You guys can do like a Glorio special report or something for us.
Sure.
Yeah, Glorio special report complete with bad cell phone video.
Yeah, so. All right, guys, so I guess we might as well do our regular housekeeping. Read us on theglorioblog.com. Like, comment, subscribe to the podcast.
Tell your friends.
Tell your enemies.
Tell your friends, tell your enemies. It counts the same to us. And that's going to do it. So thanks, everyone. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.